Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 16th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me. And my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also, my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. And now, behold, my witness is in heaven. My record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So Job speaks back then to Eliphaz, and well, there are several things here. The first that I want to take notice of is that Job says, miserable comforters are ye all, and then shall vain words have an end. It's an interesting point that he makes when he says, you know, and they, I think both sides now of the discussion have gotten to the, what I've called in the past, the you shut up portion of the conversation, right? You be quiet, no, you be quiet. Will vain words have no end? Will you cease to, when will you cease to speak? You know, those kinds of things. In other words, you'd be better, you know, quiet than you are speaking, and so on. And they've reached that kind of an impasse in their discussion because there is no agreement among them. And this will go on, right, until Elihu takes up some speech. And then God will pick up where Elihu leaves off without a beat. He just kind of enters into the discussion as if you know, Elihu's speaking and God says, that's a good idea. And so he just, you know, pushes him aside and says, this is what's going to happen here. This is how the cow's going to eat the cabbage, right? So this rancor, this difficulty will go on between Job and his friends for quite some time yet. Remember, we're only partway through the second cycle. There are three cycles altogether. Okay? So Eliphaz has given his second reply to Job then, and then Job is replying to Eliphaz. And as I said in the last hour, so now, notice what he says. Verse 4 and 5 are especially poignant, I think. I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head against you or at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. So when Job says, miserable comforters are ye all, he has something in mind. And the thing that he has in mind is, what you have done is you've come to me, you've accused me of hypocrisy and pride without ever offering me any comfort for the straits that I'm in. And that is miserable comfort, miserable counsel. Oh, let us learn from that. Let us learn something from that. Let us not be so analytical, cold, and clinical that we visit our ailing brethren, those who are truly, not falsely, but truly under some soul affliction, and we give them some facile and clinical comment and expect that to do, to heal the breach. Job says, miserable comforters are you. If I was in your place and coming to a one such as me, it'd be easy to heap up words upon him. It'd be easy to shake my head. Oh, you know, such a wicked sinner. Look at what's going on here. It'd be easy to do. And can we say that sometimes we find ourselves doing that? Can we say that there are times when we see afflictions come upon people and there's this in the back of our mind secret, I figured something like that would happen. Right? Instead of entering into the real aspect of human suffering that is going on. Certainly if that is due to those who are suffering for their own sins, and it is, for Job here, it would be due to him all the more, seeing that he has done nothing worthy of this kind of chastisement that is coming upon him, except that the Lord is pursuing a course of uprightness with him that he had not heretofore known. And so let us learn, first of all, what Job says to his friends, I wish you would have approached me like this. Right? Secondly, then, Job goes on to speak about the way God is treating with him. And he is still struggling with his understanding. He doesn't understand why the Lord is pursuing him as he is. This has not yet come clear to him. It will, but it has not yet. And so, notice, he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. There's a change in the pronouns there, right? That what Job sees is the friends gathered round him, that they are like the enemies that have reproached him, and yet he has an eye to thee, to God, in that God has sent this upon him, and he doesn't understand it. May I say to you, dear brothers and sisters, that God is big enough to bear your lack of understanding? That you can tell him that? He's big enough to bear that. I remember one of my mentors back in California said to me once, do you feel angry with God? Tell him he can take it. Well, that's a ribald way to say it, perhaps, a little bit out there. It may be that when we're angry with God, what needs to happen is we'd be taken down a notch, right? That we should not level our anger at God as if he was like us. Sure, we get that, okay? But notice that there is a lack of understanding here. I think that Job is pursuing here, not in pride as he's been accused of pursuing, but in humility toward God. God is running upon me like a giant. He's crushing me under him. And I don't understand it. It's okay to come to God like that. It's okay to express your lack of understanding to God. It is all right to speak with God about your inability to understand what he's doing. And then notice also, toward the end of the chapter, the faithfulness here. He says, this is not for any injustice in my hands. Also, my prayer is pure. O earth, cover thou not my blood, and let my cry have no place. In other words, not there. Don't let my cry be buried in the earth, in other words. My cry must be before the Lord. That's what Job is saying in that. Earth, earth, earth! Do not receive my cry in that sense. Don't bury my voice. let my prayer be heard on high. Then notice also, behold, my witness is in heaven. My record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. You see the faithfulness? So Job has not lost his faith. We have seen that he's not pristine in his behavior here, but he's not lost his faith. So then finally, the chapter ends with Job's expressed desire, as he's already expressed. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Right? Well, Job will take comfort in that later. In fact, Lord willing, in just 2 weeks' time, we'll read about Job's unshakable faith that he will stand upon earth with his Redeemer at the end of days, with his advocate. All right, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 16. Let's